Let's read together. Responsive reading, Psalm 48 from God's book. Hallelujah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God in his holy mountain. Mount Zion is just Jerusalem. It's David's, the city of David. Amen. That's some people just kind of not sure about that, but that's the city of David, Jerusalem. God is in her palaces, and he is known as her refuge. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled. They hastened away. And when you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. Hallelujah. For this is God, our God. This is your God. Amen. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. I hope we can get through. I hope you'll ask me to get through all this. I'm so excited today. I'm going to start in Genesis. Thank you, Lord. It's the testimony. Genesis 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out from your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Hallelujah. What a promise is that? Amen? Wow. Thank you, Lord. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. They all left. Who were they following? Who were they following? God. Who told them to go? Who are they listening to? Hello. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the palace of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody know what that means? He built an altar. He took some stones, and he might have taken some wood, and he piled them up there, right there, so he could see it. Amen? And as he built that altar, he prayed at that altar. Amen? He built something in remembrance of who? God. What did he do first? He built the altar first. Amen? After there, he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abraham journeyed going on stills to the south. Abraham is talking to who? And who's talking to Abraham? He's telling him to do something. Abraham did what? He obeyed. Amen. This altar thing is so important. It's important to understand what this means. It's simply, Pat, he put some stones in place, in a pile of stones and some wood, and that's where he said, I'm going to worship God. And it's the first thing he did. Amen. Notice that. The first thing he did when he got to where God told him to be, he built an altar so he can remember God. Amen. So he had a place to pray to God. Amen. He got on his knees and he said, thank you, Lord. Whatever he prayed, that was the altar. Amen. And he went to the next place. What was the first thing he did? Built an altar. Amen. Now this altar is so even more important, because when you travel back, when you look back, when you travel back and you come to a place familiar and you see those rocks, what do you think of? You think of God. Amen. So the altar becomes an altar of remembrance. Amen. Because all of you, I got to tell you, you must remember what God has done for you since the day he got you here. Amen. Sometimes we forget all the blessings. Are you with me? These altars help Abram remember the blessings. Amen. oh, I see that. That's the altar where I prayed, where God got me here. I'm going to go and I'm going to pray again. Amen. I'm going to thank Him because God has gotten you through so much that you've forgotten. And I'm sorry to tell you the truth, but it is the truth. Amen. How many of you have forgotten? We've all forgotten things that God has done for us. That's why it's important that we build altars in our life and we remember when we go back to the things that we've been blessed with. Maybe your house should be an altar. Every time you see, you say, thank you, Lord, for that house. Amen. Or the furniture or the backyard, whatever you got. Your car, amen, the person that you love, maybe that should be an altar. Say, I remember, Lord, what you've done for me. It's so. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Woo. Okay. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all they had, and Lot was with them, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. Well, God wants you to be poor. He wants you to give up all your possessions. No, He doesn't. God wants to bless you. Amen. Say that with me. God wants to bless you. Look at what Abram's got because he's following God. He was very rich. How rich? Very rich. In livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as to Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai. To the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Imagine that. He went back to that altar again. Amen. We need to go back, Miss Elaine, and see where God has blessed you with all the blessings. So we remember what God is doing in our life. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and to your descendants forever. Now that means his children and his children's children and his children's children. Amen. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Everybody knows that's impossible. Amen. Counting the dust. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the Tebarim tree of Mamre, which is also in Hebron. And I'm going to ask you, because you don't have your Bible open, what did he do then? Hallelujah! We got a winner! Hold your tickets! He built an altar! Because he wanted to remember who? For what? What God had did for him. Amen? So he put God first, and every time he put God first, God blessed him. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. He built, imagine that. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Hallelujah. How much more does he need? Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. Imagine that, from his children's children, kings shall come. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant. How long? To be God to you and the descendants after you. Hallelujah. There's a promise. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Abraham. Who's Abraham talking to? Hallelujah. He's got all those things. And what did God do? Did God fulfill those promises? Absolutely. Look at the riches that he had. Amen. Look at everything that God has done for him to this point. Abraham and God walking together. God blessing him. He's building an altar. Thank you, Lord. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you. As the Lord visited Sarah, and the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. Imagine that. God just did what he said. Imagine that. God says something and it happens. Imagine that. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Hallelujah. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, who Sarah born to him, Isaac. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Isaac. Everything God told Abraham is happening. Amen. Abraham is rich beyond His dreams, amen. Everything, his livestock, the people, all the descendants, all the promises, amen, came from who? God, amen. And who was walking with God? Abraham, amen. Year after year after year, and God was following through with each promise. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of those mountains which I shall tell you. If God told you to do that with one of your kids today, you say, Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? And if you did it, guess what? You would be crazy. If you said God told you to do that, I would say you're crazy. Amen? But this is Abraham. And who has Abraham been walking with all these years? So who does Abraham trust more than anybody? So Abraham, see, did God. Said, I'm going to take now your only son. He's not going to ask you to do that. Anybody ever wonder why he did this? Because I told Sergio, this isn't the game. Amen? This is the real deal. This is life and salvation. Hallelujah. And he said, take your only son, your Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land and offer him there as a burnt. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place to which God had told him to go. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Listen, I'm telling you what, listen to what this man who knows God, amen, this is why God would never ask you to do such a thing, amen? So don't even say, I would never do, why could God do that? He would never ask you, but listen to what Abraham said, because he knows who? God, amen? I love this part. Abraham, hallelujah, lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. Now, what's Abraham going to do? He's going to offer his son as a sacrifice, right? But what does he say to the men? Who's coming back with him? So what does Abraham know in here? And here, amen? He knows God, amen? He trusts God, amen? He trusts him. And so Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two men went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. I love that, my son. Oggy doggy and doggy daddy, remember that? Then he said, Look. The fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to a place of which God had told them. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on in order. And then he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay him. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Who else gave his only begotten son, amen, for us? Who did that? God. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind there was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Though we may never know God as well as Abraham knows him, amen? Can I get an amen? We must continue to listen to that still small voice leading us every day. Doing just that. Listen, if you just listen to God for that voice in your head and in your heart, it'll make it easier to follow God. Are you with me? To show us, to allow God to show us the way. And I'm going to tell you the truth, Sergio, the truth, we're still going to make mistakes, amen? Because guess what? Abraham made mistakes, amen? David made mistakes, amen? So we're still going to make mistakes. Can I get an amen? But the victories that we have, because we have recognized God and we follow God, then those mistakes will quickly be easier to clear up. Are you with me? The things that we do in life that are wrong, that we didn't hear from God, they'll be easier to fix because we'll hear them sooner. Amen. We'll realize what we're doing. Amen. And we'll see the difference. Are you with me? Now, God is not going to ask you to do anything like that. Amen. First of all, because you don't know him the way Abraham did. Notice, Abraham walked with God. Everywhere he went, he built an altar. To who? He knew God's voice. Amen. He understood what God was saying, and he trusted God. He trusted him. And his son, he's going to take his son. And what does he say to the man? We'll be back. Because he knew, my God would not do that. I know that he wouldn't, but I'm going to be faithful and do all that he has asked me to do. Amen. And Abraham was blessed, and Abraham's family has been blessed. And guess who's part of the family? Raise your hands if you don't know. You're part of that family. Amen. Give me an amen. Thank you, Lord. That's right. Woo-hoo. That's right. We're still going to make mistakes. But those victories will come quicker when we know the word, when we see the mistake, we know right away, oh, this is wrong, I can fix it. If you catch it right away, you can fix it easier and easier, amen? Quickly, and they will be easier to correct. Hallelujah. So just like Abraham, this was not a one-time hearing from God. People come and said, God spoke to me. I said, okay, what did he say? And if it's not according to his word, I just say, well, he's not going to tell you that. God is not in the business of misleading us to try to fool us. He's not. But Abraham knew his voice. This was not a one-time hearing, but it took years and years of following God. That's what we're all on, the same journey. You're on that same journey with Abraham. He's not going to ask you to sacrifice your child at the altar or do something insanely crazy today, but he is going to ask you to follow him. Let's pray together. He's asking you to follow him the way Abraham did, to trust him the way Abraham did, with all that you have, understanding that all you have is from him, your talents, the smile, the people who love you, the way that you love, the compassion you have, those are all gifts from him. We need to see that. Remember everything that God has got you through, brothers and sisters, that's between you and God. Things in your life that you said or you did that you knew God didn't want you to do or say, but he still forgave you. He still carried you through. He still blessed you. When you see those altars, when you see those remembrances, and you realize, here I am today, what am I worried about, really worried about? What am I concerned about, really? Because God has made me healthy yesterday, he can make me healthy today. Because God blessed me financially yesterday, he can bless me today. With love, with compassion, with the things in your heart's desires. If he helped you through all of that today, he's not going to stop for tomorrow. But we need to follow him like Abraham. It's not blindly following. You're not following anybody blindly. You know the truth. You know Jesus. You know the Bible. So you're not walking blindly behind somebody or something. You're following behind God, the God of the Bible. That's who you're walking after. And God is asking you just to trust him, to love him, to show others that love and mercy, that same compassion, forgiveness. Show others and let him bless you. Let him, when you give somebody something, and he wants to bless you. When you give, you receive. Hallelujah. Show him. Faith, your works, not just say, I love you, Lord. Show the love. Let it pour out of you. Even you will be surprised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even you will be surprised what you receive when you let go and let God fill you. When you do something nice for somebody you didn't expect and what you get in return. I tell people in the nursing homes who have nothing left, that's their life now. They can't leave. They can't. And I say, give somebody a smile today. And you'd be so surprised what you might get in return. Say hello to somebody you haven't said hello to in a long time. And guess what? You might get something in return. A lifetime of conversation. Somebody's hand to hold. So I ask you today to do something today out of your character, away from who you think you are, doing it for God. Let it shine out. Let it shine out. And let God just make you be something so special. He will lift you up. Like Abraham, he simply wants us to follow him and to remember. So let's trust him more today. He got you here today. And he's carried you through so many places and things. He's not going to stop. That's why I love him, because he loves me that way. He has forgiven me time after time after time and lifted me up higher and higher when I called upon his name. He has closed doors that I thought I wanted to walk through, and he slammed them shut. And I thank him for those. He's opened doors that other people say, how did that happen? Say, it had to be God. That's why I love him, because I have walked with him. And you're walking with him now, and I pray you receive this testimony. In Jesus' name, I pray. Everybody together, say amen. Let the church say amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church.
God's not going to try to fool you, right? Amen. He's not in the game playing, amen. But it is serious business. Say that with me. Serious business, amen. 1 Kings, it says there, but there was no one like Ahab, who sold himself to wickedness in the sight of the Lord because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. Amen? Amen? And it said, Ahab, he was the king of Israel. Amen? He married the king of Israel married an evil woman, one of the most evil women in the Bible, according to my Bible, who drew him into idol worship. He listened to his wife. Oh, don't even get me started on that, Greg. He listened to his wife, who was not only an unbeliever, but worshiped Baal and had hundreds of Baal prophets leading and giving the king advice. She was a devil worshiper, amen? That's what Baal means, amen? And this woman, who was married to the king of Israel, was a Baal, and he brought her in, and she was in his ear all the time. Hey, do this. Hey, you ought to do that. Hey, do this. This is what I want you to do, amen? This was Ahab. Listen, I'm opening the door to Ahab to you, because I'm going to read from 1 Kings now. Ahab. Now you know who Ahab the king is. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people. Elijah was God's prophet. Amen. How long? And Elijah says this to the people. How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But listen, but the people answered him not a word. Hallelujah. Imagine that. These people knew the truth, but they didn't want to give up their sinful ways. So they didn't even answer him. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. See? Even prophets can be wrong, amen? Elijah is a man. Say that with me. He is a man, amen? And he is a prophet, but he was not alone. His pride made him think he was alone because he looked around and didn't see anybody with him. So he stated, I'm alone. I'm all alone. God had left me all, and he didn't. God will never leave you alone. Can I get an amen? But he said, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. He's looking around, and there's 450 devil worshippers right there. And so Elijah says, therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And then he says to them, then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. He's making a deal with them. Can I get an amen? He's saying, you take care of your bull, I'll take care of mine. Then we're going to call, don't do anything, don't put any fire in it. He said, lay it on the wood, but put no fire in it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people said, well, I guess that'll work, okay. Praise God. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourself and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So Elijah lets them choose for themselves. Amen? They get to pick. Oh, I want that one, the big one. I want the best one. That's the one I want. And they prepared it. He said, because you guys are so many, and I'm all by myself, even though he wasn't. Call on the name of your God. Put no fire under it. Now, it's getting good now. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leapt around the altar which they had made. And it was so at noon, he loved this. It was so at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, you could just see him now, just stand there. Hey, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or maybe he's on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud, and they cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. And when midday passed, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Amen? How many people answered? Nobody. They prayed all the way until evening. Amen? Let me tell you, this is not a game. To God, this is about saving the nation of Israel. Are you with me? Understand what's going on here. This is not a game. God is not playing a game. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. Come here. So all the people came near, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seas of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and of the wood. They're looking at him like, what are you, crazy? You want to put water on this? This is supposed to be a burnt offering. He said, 4 of them. So they did that. They filled 4 water pots with water and poured it on the burnt offering and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. I said, what do you must be? And then he said, that's right, he does. He said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, of who? Isaac and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant. You see, he's a servant, amen? He chose to serve God, amen? You can, all of us could be that way if your heart was dedicated to serving him. And he said, I am your servant. And that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed its burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Give him praise, church. Come on. Our God is winning. Hallelujah. And Elijah said to them, seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape. Do not let how many? One. Not one escape. So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Hallelujah. Amen. This is not a game. There could be no room for false gods in our hearts and our minds. Amen. But this was a nation was at stake. Are you with me? Hallelujah. A nation was at stake. So he told them to do what to the Baal worshippers? Hallelujah. Now Ahab, we talked about Ahab. Remember I told you Ahab? Just so I remember, I want you to remember who Ahab was. He was the king. He was married to who? Married to an evil woman who drew him into idol worship. He listened to his wife. I love that part. Who was not only an unbeliever, but worshiped Baal and hundreds of Baal prophets. Hallelujah. Her name was Jezebel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Ahab, all right, thank you, Lord. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Can you picture this? Picture this, because we're supposed to, this is the story we can all be part of. So picture you're standing there, and here comes Ahab, and he tells Jezebel all that Elijah had done, because she wasn't there. Also, how he executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, listen to this. Listen to what she says. Now y'all heard what just happened, amen? When the Baal worshippers prayed, what happened? Nobody, right? Right? Who answered? Nobody. What happened when they prayed? Nothing. Amen. So listen to what she said. She's saying, send a message to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Jezebel is telling, go tell Elijah. But I ask you this, what God? She's saying, let the gods are going to attack him. But I'm saying this woman is, she's committed. That's what this book says. Amen. The Bible says she's committed. But she's saying, what God? And if Ahab was any kind of guy, he would have said, but wait a minute. Those 450 Baal worshippers, they prayed to this God and he didn't answer. So what God is going to attack Elijah? Because it's Elijah's God who did the miracle. Amen. She was, let me read what it says because I have it in yellow in my Bible. She was committed to her beliefs. Are you with me? Just because you're committed to a belief doesn't make it right. Amen? People are committed to all kinds of things in their life, to all kinds of religions. It doesn't make it right. Amen? You could be committed to something so wrong, but you're going to do it no matter what, because that's what your desire is to do. Amen? But here's this woman of arrogance now. She's saying, so let the gods do to me and also more if I do not make the life as the life of one of them by tomorrow. She's saying that her God's going to do something that those gods never did. Are you with me? Hallelujah. This is so good. I love this. Woo. Hallelujah. This is us too. So, and when he saw that, I'm going to read again. So let the gods do to me more also if I do not make your life. So she threatens Elijah, amen? And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judea, and left his servants there. Here's the thing about believers. Here, you just heard, I just read what Elijah did, amen? But now here's some attack comes, a threat comes, and what does he do? He runs away. Why? Because he's afraid again. He already forgot what God had already performed. Amen? Praise. So we're all in that. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under the broom tree. And he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Hallelujah. So he says to God, so he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They tore down your altars and they killed your prophets with swords. And he says to God, I am alone. I alone am left and they seek to take my life. Hallelujah. But was he alone? See, he just doesn't see. Here's a man who's walking with God. So when you have a little despair every day, when you have a little worry in your heart, when you feel like maybe, just maybe you're a little concerned, don't feel like you're falling, amen, or failing, amen. Understand what Elijah, this man was walking with God, amen. He was a servant. So when you feel like, well, I'm a little worried today, just pray about it, amen. But don't give in to it. Are you with me? Hallelujah. And he said, I'm alone and left. Hallelujah. God is never going to leave you alone. Please, Mary and Joseph, Gene and Walter, he's never going to leave you alone. Say that with me, church. He is never going to leave us alone. Hallelujah. So God tells Elijah, then he says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountain and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. So after the fire, a still small voice. If you remember anything today, remember this. God is never in the problem. He is in the solution. Amen? He is in the solution. Hallelujah. And he tells him what he needs to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Then the Lord says to him, can I finish? You guys with me? Everybody with me?
Oh, good.
Then the Lord said to him, go and return your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, this is what I want, this is important, this is the end now. When you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. Also you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi. Now that Jehu is spelled J-E-H-U, amen? Say that with me, Jehu, and we'll say it like that. The son of Nimshi, and you appoint him as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. He's telling him what to do. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. And now listen to what he tells him finally. Yet I have reserved 7,000. How many? In Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. Hallelujah. He's telling him, there's so many with you. You have nothing to worry about. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now he's going to send Jehu. Hallelujah. Jehu is now the king. He took the throne from Ahab's family and destroyed his evil influences. Amen. Yay. Give him praise, right? He was anointed by Elijah and confirmed by Elisha. Amen. Give him praise. That's right. He destroyed the Baal worshippers. Hallelujah. Yep. But he was prone to be reckless. He followed God when it felt right. Amen. He followed God when he thought it would work for him. He removed Baal worshippers only to allow the worshipping of golden calves. And it says in 2 Kings, but Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord of God of Israel with all his heart. With how much of his heart? For he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam who had made Israel sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I got to finish now. Here's the ending coming up. Now when Jehu, who? Say that name with me. Jehu, good. Had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it. And she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through the window. Then as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master? She's mocking him. Here's Jezebel now, amen? She's in the castle. And here comes Jehu. And you know what his job is supposed to be. So he's coming. And she sees him coming and she kind of mocks him. She refers to somebody in 1 Kings who actually was one of the king's servants who got the king drunk. And after he got him drunk, he killed the king and became king himself, amen? So this Zimri fella, see, he was a guy who went behind the king's back to get the kingdom. Amen. That's what she's mocking him. She said, who are you coming like that? Are you coming to get me? That's what she said. Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master? She's kind of calling him like that. And Jehu looked up at the window and said, who is on my side? Who? So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. And then he said, throw her down. So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses. And he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, go now. He ate and drank. Then he said to him, go now and see this accursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. He understands that she needed some kind of burial because she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her. Who are they going to go to bury? Jezebel, amen. Who is Jezebel? The wife of Ahab. The one who was a Baal worshiper, amen, who had Baal worshippers telling the king. She was about to end the nation, amen. Her whole dream was to destroy the Jewish nation, amen. That was her thing. And he said, go now and see to this accursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter. So they went to bury her. But they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, this is the word of the Lord which he spoke by my servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, On the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuge on the surface of the field in the plot of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, ever, ever, ever not say, here lies Jezebel. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God's not playing games. Can I get an amen? This woman was trying to destroy
the Jewish nation. God was not playing games with this woman. And she's spoken about in other parts of the Bible as pure evil in the world. Amen. God and those that love follow His word would never give advice or counsel that would be against His word. Hallelujah. We must always ask ourselves, is this what God would want me to say or do? Then we can have confidence in our choices. God can and will help us too, opening doors, closing them, keeping us safe and on the right path. And I truly believe that with all my heart and all my soul. I do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. God is not in the business of trying to fool us. Can I get an amen? Or mislead us? These men, they knew God, the sound of His voice. They trusted God. They believed God. God is not asking us to live in these times. Are you with me? But He does mean business. He means what He says. The sheep shall know the Master's voice. I read this today to just try to explain some of the things that go on and what the Old Testament said and how they had to live and what they had to do and the reasons why it was so powerful in the Old Testament, because there was a lot at stake. Amen. But if you read about that and you realize you could put yourself in those places. Do you believe? How do you believe? Do you trust God? How much do you trust God? And see that God is not playing a game. He is not a game. This is our salvation. This is our life. Amen. This is our forever. This is our hopes and our dreams. This book, these stories are amazing to read. And when you study them and get deeper and see who these people really were, understanding that this is real life. Amen. And God is calling us to follow Him and calling us to love Him in so different ways than the world can ever understand. Give Him praise, church. This was an amazing story. Jezebel, Ahab, thank you, Lord. Thought I had one more piece here, but we're good. He's not in the business of trying to fool us, so give Him praise, church. That's